Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody out there in Internet Radio Land, my listeners, all seven of you. I appreciate you listening and all those that download. It's very nice that I am someone you listen to. And my opinions of my own, and I am Coach Penn, and this is Third and Long. This week I have a very interesting show. I decided not to get any guests because I wanted to kind of cover some of the things I've been seeing out there, hearing. It's been almost a month since the championship game, so for those of you who weren't in the playoffs, it's been almost 2 months since the season has ended. And some of the things I wanted to go over this week, I mentioned last week, end-of-year banquets and the updating of websites, keeping your team, your coaches, your family and friends informed of where the team you're involved with stands. After I go over that, I'm going to go over how much time off does players, coaches, and management need before delving into the next season, because those of you and those of us, because I would like to think I'm considered into that are fighting for championships or fighting to be a winning team and not just to play football, which is totally okay. I mean, the whole playing football just to play football is a great thing. Just some of us have more of a goal in winning and proving that we are good coaches, good players, and put together a good program, and proving it not just by having a good team, but winning and winning championships and beating good teams. So how much time off before you delve back into that season? And players, management, coaches, is all voluntary, so how far do you want to push it? After that, I'm going to delve into men's football because the college football and NFL football seasons are about ready to begin. College football begins August 28th, and I'm going to go over the polls. And for those of you out there, feel free to call in and give your opinions on some of that for those football fanatics. And then if I have enough time, I'm going to go over what is the big deal with fantasy football. I'm not knocking it. I actually have my own league and have had one for, 4 or 5 years now. But how is this so addicting? You know, that's what's going to be. But as I started last week, we're going to start with a where are they now? And last week I did A-Train. A-Train was my sister, so I know exactly where she was. And she hinted towards making a few stops in a few select cities next year. So she hinted that she's going to try and come back and play football after 3 years off. Well, yesterday when I got home from work, her and another player were at my house working out in my gym. So we'll see how serious that is. I'll keep you updated on that for all you A-Train fans. Let's go on to the where are they now. I didn't pick a player this week. This week I picked a team because this team has championship rings and did not play this spring. They were a member of the WPFL and one of the 4 or 5 teams left remaining in it. Well, today it was announced that the Houston Energy are a team again. I know I mentioned a couple weeks ago that they had tryouts announced, and their website is basically still the same. It still has the WPFL logos, and it still has all the same information on there. But they are now officially a member of the IWFL. And I'm excited about that because, like I mentioned, I wanted to see the Dallas and Houston rivalry come back. And now all you Texas football fans will be able to start your bragging and just overall Texas-sized rivalry and take it to a new level in a new league and take it, just build women's football that much further, because I love the Dallas-Houston rivalry. They're two very good teams they play, you know, big football, and it's fun because we don't play big football out here on the West Coast because we don't have any size down here in Southern California. Everybody that wants to play football is fast and it's crazy. Well, my chat just finally loaded, so I'm going to sign on to there. And if you have any comments or questions, feel free to hop in the chat available room. It's a little green kind of chat board, and then you plug in there, and you can talk with all the coaches and listeners that are on live and throw questions my way. Other than that, you can call in to the number if you want to immediately comment on something. The number is 347-826-7278. Once you call in, you might want to hop in the chat room just in case, because what we need to do is get your digits and what you want to talk about, and then BJ can unmute you, and we can chat. So hopefully There, my chat just finally loaded up, so thank you. Hubie Mama. Oh, wow. Grisafi's mom's on. Hello, Grisafi's mom. I love the fact that she puts it on there, and if I outed you, I'm sorry, but I know who you are, because I read all the boards and pay attention to basically anything going on with women's football. So, where are they now? The Houston Energy are now in the IWFL. I am very, very excited, because it means a lot, not just for women's football, but for the IWFL, because they are really building a top-notch league, and it starts at the top and works its way down. Well, guess what? They're building the teams that are recognized throughout women's football as top-tier teams. Now, how many has Dallas won? Dallas has now won 4 championships overall. Houston, I think, won 3. And then, let me see, who else is in here? Pittsburgh's won 1 and 2 leagues. Or no, they just won 1 in the NWFA, and they came over here. Detroit won 4 over there, won 1 over here. D.C. won over there, came over here. I mean, we have probably 10 to 15 championship teams in our league, and I think that's great for the IWFL and women's football. This year alone, Tennessee Valley, Philadelphia Firebirds, and the Louisville, what is it called? Nightmare. Is it Nightmare? I can't remember. I can't remember what it was called now. But anyways, those are the teams that just joined, and each one of them, while they may not admit it or are allowed to admit it, are 2008 playoff teams from the NWFA. So that's very good, too. And I know I had a talk with Catherine Masters, and she was disagreeing with me in that the fact that the IWFL got the better deal of all the team switching leagues and stuff like that. But sorry, that's not really an opinion worth arguing. The IWFL is getting the better teams. So, the Houston Energy, big news this week, not to overshadow the Louisville Nightmare, because the Kentucky Karma were a very good team, and now the Louisville Nightmare, and they are now part of the IWFL. So, that league is, the IWFL has grown to, I don't know, was it 47 or 48 teams? We have never really, I guess you're never really sure until the team meetings or the league meetings happen in late October, who is coming back, but I couldn't see anybody really switching of major significance, because most of the teams that have come from the NWFA probably aren't allowed back. And then I really haven't heard of too many problems, at least major problems, with teams having with the IWFL. I know that some people have had individual problems, but that's something people need to get over, because it's all about working together to build women's football, and if you're in it for a different reason, then go create your other league and see if you can compete with the IWFL. If you think you can do better, try it. I guarantee you will fail, unless you have just millions of dollars sitting in your back pocket, so have fun with that. Thanks again for those of you listening live. I'm Coach Penn, and now that we've covered the Where Are They Now, Houston Energy, welcome to the league. I look forward to seeing you in the playoffs. Next, I wanted to roll into end of the year, because the end of the year brings in all these announcements about new teams, flip-flopping leagues, and then some teams just disappear, up and gone. And, you know, some of those teams are high-profile teams, like the Montreal Blitz, for one example. They rarely update their website, and they were the Tier 2 champions this year. They did finally update their website, and they have some championship game info, as heard on the WFB Talk Ladies show on Sunday when, who does it, Megan? Megan does the SmackDown, I think it is, where everybody loves. What? Hold it. Miss Grisafi, you're in Southern California, never been to one of our games? Wow. We are definitely going to have to talk after the show, because I didn't know you're out here. That's amazing. We're going to have to bring you some games and, you know, maybe work some things out where you can help out with the team, since you are so big on women's football. I see you on the chat boards, and it's nice to see that some parents are supportive, because I know that a bunch aren't. In fact, I had a couple on my team that were like, could not believe their daughters were playing, and basically ostracized them because they were playing. Then they came out to one of the games, and they're so proud of their daughter. So I'm like, you know, that's basically what we have with all our fans, but for parents to be like that, it's awesome to see some that are very, very nice. How you doing, Chopper? I actually got your email, and I want to discuss that at a later show, so I don't think I'm ignoring you there. All right, so let's go up to the end of the year banquets. I've checked over all the IWFL web individual team sites, and some of the IWFL, I wasn't able to get through them all today because I just had a busy day at work taking a nap and all. So actually only one team has, actually no teams have anything about their banquet on there, like pictures, synopsis, team awards, all that. There's a couple teams that have their season-ending awards, MVPs of 2008. The Columbus Phantoms have their MVPs listed on there. Let's see, who else has? The Clarksville Fox has their season recap on there. Let me see. The Tucson Monsoon actually had an end-of-season party already. It was the day after the championship game. I believe somebody else did, too. I can't remember where it was. No, it was the Fury. The Miami Fury actually had tryouts the day after the championship game. So here are some of the – I want to put some goodwill out there to some of the teams in the IWFL and read off some of your dates, because it's pretty cool that some of these teams are starting already. Scary, because I work 60 hours a week on football, and I'm not really ready to begin again, but I'll get into that in a couple minutes. So a lot of the teams have updated their sites with the all-stars that were voted on in the IWFL. So I want to say congratulations to those teams for recognizing their players and for the IWFL for getting it out there quickly, because that's a big thing when you make all-stars, and everybody should be darn proud of making all-stars. The Baltimore Nighthawks, I thought was pretty cool. They are actually launching a new website, and they have one of those old generic websites that I think the league sent out as just a base design, and some of the teams who are not very good with the web actually use those. So they are actually, I guess, designing a new one, and that's cool. But let's go with the tryouts, and then we'll start with the East. The New York Sharks are actually having clinics, and their first tryout is September 6th, so basically the week after Labor Day. The Divas are having tryouts September 28th and October 5th. Central PA Vipers, September 13th. Pittsburgh Passion, who were nominated for an Emmy for their videoing of women's football, which is just phenomenal. They're having tryouts on September 6th and 14th. So that's pretty good. I mean, that whole division is having tryouts in September, and that's the East Coast, and there's a lot of competition with the NWFA, so I can understand them wanting to have it so early. Miami Fury, like I said, they already had one tryout, so that's pretty cool. Atlantic Explosion says they're going to start having them in November. Orlando Mayhem, I really hasn't updated too much. Palm Beach Punishers actually have technical difficulties written on their website, but there is a phone number where you can call to find out about trials. So I think they may be in the process of upgrading a website too. Chicago Force, they have their all-stars listed, and they had, I think, 15 including coaches on there, so that was pretty cool. And they also have something for fundraisers. So the season didn't stop just because they came in second place. They're already starting to raise money for next year, so they can concentrate on football. So that's very, very cool. Detroit Demolition, nothing. Wisconsin Wolves are also doing a fundraiser. Let's see. Columbus Phantoms are having their tryouts in August. Wisconsin Warriors, please email them. And once again, I'm trying to get all this information out there, so those of you who are in those areas and just happen to be listening, wondering what the show's about, it's about women's football. You know, I will cover some of the men's football during the down season of women's football, but as you can see, the down season was gone already. A lot of teams are already starting, so if you're hearing in those areas, or you know some ladies in that area that are friends of yours that you keep in touch with, say, hey, you've always been interested in football. Check out this website, IWFLSports.com, WomensFootballCentral.com. Research the teams in your local area, and you never know. It just might fit you, and you might have fun. Let's see. The Manchester Freedom has their all-stars on there, plus the fundraiser. I liked what the Southern Maine Rebels did. They actually have a calendar of upcoming events, which is really neat, and they're having their tryouts in September as well. The New England Intensity has something similar to a calendar, but it's just like an updates thing where they keep you updated on everything going on. They have their all-stars listed in email for their tryouts if you want to check it out. The Holyoke Hurricanes, they actually have a link where you can email them to find out about tryouts. Carolina Phoenix is doing something similar to what we are doing with California Quake, having a team meeting first. Carolina Phoenix has a team meeting on 8/23, which is Saturday? I don't know. It's really close. That's what it is. So Let's see, Shreveport Aftershock also has a calendar. And what's cool about Shreveport, they are having 5 trials. And my management wanted us to have 4. And I was like, are you kidding me? We don't even really need 3. But, you know, we'll do 3. Well, they're having one every single month starting October 16th. So those of you in Shreveport, check out that website. Clarksville Fox will be having their tryout dates announced soon. The Seattle Majestics, well, here's the funny thing about Seattle. Their season really never ended. They lost to Dallas, but they were so hooked up with Seattle Seahawks that they had to continue working out because they have an exhibition game. I think it's the pregame, or was it August 29th or something like that, of one of the Seattle preseason games, and they're playing the Sacramento Siren. So both of their websites have big blow-ups in the ads for the exhibition game. And Seattle's actually having a training camp as well, where Sacramento, because they have to travel to Seattle, they have a bunch of fundraisers and a lift-a-thon. So it's pretty cool if you want to sponsor a player, you know, go on the website, find a contact for Sacramento, and you know, sponsor something. And don't sponsor that one girl, because she actually won the lift thing for Sacramento Sirens for the IWFL League. So she might put a date in your pocket, so be careful there. Let's see who else is out there. Portland Shockwave has an upcoming events calendar, which is pretty cool. Santa Rosa Scorchers, I have a feeling they may be done. I hope not, because I loved playing that team. They had a bunch of great athletes. But if they do stop playing football, I do hope that the bonds have healed, the relationship that was with the Oakland Banshees has healed, so that, you know, some of the Santa Rosa players can join the Oakland Banshees, because together they would be a really, really good team. Reading Rage really doesn't have anything on there, but they have updated a couple videos of the Chicago Force, so I guess that would be pretty cool. California Quake, they have a big thing on there about volunteers and coaches, which reminds me, Coach Duncan, when you listen to this, please, if you're not listening now, could you please give me a call after my show or when you get this, because I need to talk to you about some things. So we have tryouts on November 15th, December 20th, and January 17th. And we have a team meeting coming up on September 13th where we're going to discuss a bunch of fundraisers and stuff like that. That's after I get through this, that's what I'm kind of going to go into, and how people decide how to move forward. Tucson had their end-of-the-season party, no announcement for tryouts. The Las Vegas Showgirls have their announcement of the football camp. The SoCal Breakers haven't really updated anything. They just sent a big shout-out to April Delancey for covering their games and doing a live blog. New Mexico's Menace has a season recap interview, which was very, very unique. It was pretty cool. You know, they didn't have a great season, but they played 8 full games of football, and they decided to pick a player out, number 80, and interview her, and they put the interview on the website. So that was pretty cool to see. Kansas City Tribe has team awards announced, their All-Stars announced. They also have a calendar on there, and they have football clinics starting on 8/10. Iowa Crush has tryouts listed on there and sponsors. Those tryouts are Saturday, August 16th. Dallas Diamonds has the championship recap on there, and then their tryouts have a little link over to the right, 2009 tryouts, September 14th and September 28th. So just because they won a championship, they're not putting everything on the back burner. They're still moving forward. And I think they also had a link on the IWFL website about one of their players had a scholarship and put the scholarship off for a year. So check that out if you want to read something. Houston Energy, like I said earlier, they hadn't updated their website. Tennessee Valley, I don't think I found what their website yet. Oakland Banshees, pretty cool what we did last year. Okay, I see the question. I'll get to that in a second. The Oakland Banshees are doing what we did last year. We actually did football clinics. We had football 101, 201, 301, and 401. And it looks like the Oakland Banshees are doing that this year, too. So that is very, very helpful for teaching the ladies, not just the basics of football, but some of the knowledge of football, because a lot of the things these ladies don't know. The Connecticut Cyclones, November 1st, 15th, and 22nd, so they have 3 trials already scheduled. And I had a question for you guys out there. And please, when I ask questions or put questions out there to you, everybody feel free to email me, headcoach@californiaquakefootball.com. It's actually on the WFB Talk Continues website. Email me with some of your thoughts, opinions, anything really. You know, I'll put it out there. I mean, if I see stuff on the message boards, which have been completely dead lately, everybody's enjoying their off season. I'll respond. You know, I'm not shy. I will be blunt and honest. That's all you need to prepare yourself for. It's my show, and I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel, and then I would like your feedback on what your opinion is, because my opinion doesn't count. It's just my opinion that I'm putting out there and trying to get everybody's feedback on. Does everybody feel the same way as me, or am I in the minority? So, once again, you're listening to Third and Long with Coach Ben. So everybody's doing a pretty good job, I would say, for the most part, of updating their websites. I know a couple teams in the NWFA have updated theirs, and they all have tryouts listed, and that's pretty cool. So everybody keep it up, updating their websites, and, you know, keep your fans updated. You know, who has started a mailing list for your fans? Do when people buy season tickets, do you put them on a mailing list? I was management for 1 year, and that's something that I did. We sold, I think it was 50 to 75 season tickets, and I put them on a mailing list, and I kept them abreast on all the fundraisers and team gatherings we were having. And I think that's a great idea, you know, if used properly, I guess you could say. So I know that volunteers are few and far between, but if you have those things with that, you know, a couple times, it's not really hard. You just, you know, when you email your team and your recruits about some of the events going on, it's the same email going out saying, hey, listen, this is where you're going to be. If you want to meet some of our players, donate some money, hey, come on by, meet the team. We'll be glad to stick our hands out and take some money for you. So Coach Chopper, or Chopper actually says Tennessee Valley is going to have them in September 9th. So there's your update right there. I don't think that website is up yet, but they are having their trial September 9th in Fayetteville. So we will keep updated with that since he seems to be following my show. I'm sure I can get some usual updated information from it anytime I want. So once again, thank you for those of you updating your websites. And those of you who have banquets, you know, don't be afraid to actually upload some videos or pictures, and just keep everybody updated on what's going on with your team, because people want to know. Even if it's just me, I know it's not. So let everybody know what's going on with your team, because the more people know about your team, the more they'll have involved with it, and the more they'll want to come to your games and stuff like that. So it's very important. I mean, this is nobody writes mail anymore, or what does it say? Nobody writes real mail anymore. Everybody's kind of more along the lines of text, email, and, you know, even phone chat has gone down. So, you know, do what you can to get the word out there. I thought that was pretty cool what the IDFL did about voting for the MVP. It was a text. And for those of you listening or at the game, which there were a buttload of people at the game, and everybody has their cell phones on them these days. They can't even get away from them that much. So, you know, texting is another thing. For those of you who get them, there's another way to communicate with your fans if it doesn't offend them too much. So, next topic was going to be, how much time off do you need? Coaches out there, those of you listening, when the season ends, and it doesn't really matter if it ends on a good or a bad note, how much time do you need before actually getting back into this thing? Because I know football and coaching and playing is basically a year-round thing. But how much time do you need off to just relax and say, oh, that was a long, long, long season? I know mine was really long this year because we actually had 3 weekday practices, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, plus we had film on Monday, and then I had coaches' film on Sunday, and then games were on Saturday. So Friday night, I got to hang out with my girlfriend. And it was like a rule in our house not to be able to talk about football. So that's pretty cool. All right, so before I get into the whole how much time off, because I got a couple coaches on, I'll let them think about that. Let's get to some of the questions on the chat board. And I have dropped it a couple times, so I apologize. Let's see. We will probably have a broadcast at the Seattle. Yes, the Seattle-Sacramento game will probably have a broadcast. I believe Lisa, who did the Dallas Seattle game, is going to do it. Correct me if I'm wrong, BJ, but I think that's who it's going to be. Let me see. What else is on here? Any news on when the video of the IWFL championship game will be available? No, I do not know that yet. I will put my feelers out there and see if I can get a timeline on that, because that is something they probably need to do. Was that the only question they had on there for me? Was that it, BJ? Lisa Tavares. Okay. Lisa Tavares will be announcing that game, and hopefully, hey Pops, how you doing? Good to see you, sort of. Let's see. I don't think they were loud. Oh, my chat just died again, so I apologize. Let me see. There we go. Back on there. All right, so let's go back out there to how much time off. I see that a lot of teams are starting their tryouts slash, I mean, truthfully, tryouts are the beginning of the season, you know, and so people are already starting it. Season just ended July 26th, and people are already having tryouts in August. Most of them I'm seeing are in September, and like I said before, there is a lot of competition on the East Coast for teams in IWFL, NWFA, so they're trying to get the players that are just now hearing it first. Everybody wants that big recruiting base to be theirs, and they want to beat everybody at the punchline. So that's understandable. We are not having ours till November, then one in December and one in January. I think that our practices start January 6th, and we'll be doing three-day-a-week practices again, and then Saturdays as well until the season starts, when those practices will turn into games. And then we will do that. But so our season technically begins November is when tryouts are. But I'm sure we are having – there, Pops just told me, because Clarksville hasn't updated that stuff yet, said coming soon. They are having theirs December 13th. So a week before our second tryout, they're having their first. So they're probably one of the latest teams to start tryouts. And let's go with the off-season routine. A lot of people, especially the women in this league, they don't realize how important it is to keep their body not so much in shape, but football season is all about conditioning and football knowledge, whereas the off-season is resting your body conditioning-wise, but building it strength-wise. So I know that the WFB Talk Girls had a strength training guy on there this weekend, and they kind of beat me to the punch because I was going to do that in a couple weeks. Starting, I think it was September, I was going to start doing that, but we'll do it from a coach's perspective because I plan on having a bunch of different coaches and seeing how they actually get their ladies to work out and stuff. So, yeah, nice. Yeah, BJ says she has a nice floating device on her tummy since she stopped playing. I believe that's called a tire. I'm not sure, but I think I still have one. Actually, mine has gone away this past year because I've been working so much with the ladies. So one of the things to keep is very important and is basically the bane of women's football is money. When to do fundraising. You want to be able to give the ladies time off to get away from football and enjoy their regular lives, but you need to raise money in the off season so that when season comes, you can actually focus on playing football and not about, I haven't paid all my money. Do we have enough money to get here? How many hotel rooms do we need? You know, we're going to have four to a hotel room, or we're going to be able to have three so that some of the linemen can have their own bed. So, you know, it's very important that everybody, all the teams out there, consistently try fundraisers. I saw a bunch of good ones on some of the websites today. There's a golf one for those people that are into areas with a golf. If you can find a little sponsorship at the local golf, what are they called? I guess golf range or golf clinic. Maybe, you know, the Sacramento Sirens did a lift-a-thon, which I thought was very cool, something that we hopefully will do. I can't remember what team it was, but I believe it was an NWFA team that had calling all restaurants. Because if you actually go to a restaurant out there, they will set aside one of their slower nights, like a three-hour time frame, and no matter everything they sell, they will give you 20%. Instead of writing you a check saying, hey, we'll sponsor you, they'll say, hey, listen, we'll cut away 3 hours of our night and give you 20% of what we pull in. So that's a big thing for you because it doesn't really cost anything but publication, and you could hit that area, you know, maybe earlier that week or maybe a week before and hand out flyers saying, hey, listen, come meet women's football players at this restaurant, and say they only sell $500 of food in that hour, 20%, you know, that's $100 for minimal effort. So Chopper says he's got a haunted house scheduled as fundraiser. That's a great idea. Clarksville says they have 16 fundraisers scheduled. That's about how many we have scheduled so far, because we have every other Saturday starting September 27th filled. And then we have, I think, every other Tuesday or Wednesday filled with stuff too. So I would say we have between 15 and 25 as well. So it's very important, because, you know, how much does it take to run a team? I would say anywhere from $30,000 to $75,000 to run a team, depending on how far you have to travel. Like somebody like Dallas, where they had the two closest teams being in their division, Iowa and Kansas City, they probably had a bigger budget than most teams because they had to travel so much. And then, you know, New Mexico, they didn't have anybody around here too. So that's just, you know, huge. Well, yeah, hey, Mr. Safi, you can just come over and help us, because we will appreciate your help, and in turn, it will, you know, help women's football. You know, it never hurts. So, she was commenting on there that she can't, it's sad to her that she can't be out in Chicago to help with all the kind of fundraisers and stuff like that for the force, because, you know, she's heavily involved emotionally with them. So, some of the things I, you know, it's big to get all the fundraisers done, because when football season comes, and it's just so important to focus on football and not to have to worry about money, because we have the rest of our lives to worry about how much money we're making and all that fun stuff, right? And football's supposed to be fun, and everybody's supposed to have a good time and enjoy it. And when you're focused on football, it adds so much stress. Our management actually did a really good thing. They had, like, exit interviews, because this is a business for the owners that are out there. They don't make any money, but they eventually hope to. So they will have to see. I'll get you in a second, Papa. They did extra interviews, just like you would at a job, you know, at the end of your employment. Say it was an internship or something, they would do an extra interview that your employer would see what you thought of the way the company ran and where the improvements could be made. Well, our management did that of all players and coaches, and that was pretty cool because we all got to throw our input out there. I actually had my exit interview live and in person, and they had mentioned they want to do it with each of the coaching staff because there was really only two management members this year. But they actually threw it out to the players, and it was supposed to be anonymous, but they couldn't format the program right, because it was the first time with the program, so it wasn't as anonymous as they wanted it to be, but they got a lot of good feedback, and I was just throwing it out there because, you know, as in any business, the business is only as successful as the employees are happy. Well, we're not paying the employees. In fact, they're paying us, but we don't get to keep the money either, so the management, I'm saying, is us. They don't get to keep the money either, but it really helps when the team that you're coaching or managing is happy. And if you can fix, you're never going to make anybody happy. Just make that plain and simple right now. It's just the players are too fickle, and none of them have been involved in sports long enough to realize the hard work and dedication and sacrifice that goes into it. But there's some things you can fix, and a lot of it has to do with money and the fact that fundraisers are not a year-round event. It never hurts to ask. The players might be burnt out from a long season, but if they were actually raising money once or twice a month, they're not going to do it on their own. Just accept that fact. Players are not going to raise money on their own. There are ways you can say, hey, listen, for those of you who make money and can afford $10 a week, just do a direct deposit. Say, hey, listen, $10 is going to be deducted from my account, stuck in the management's account for the whole year. And then, you know, there's your money raised, and then any extra money you can donate to the players who are having trouble raising. That's one of the ways that people have done it on my team. But everybody needs to be involved in these fundraisers, coaches, managements, and players. We had a big problem where a lot of the coaches and basically half the team wouldn't show up to certain events because they were catered to one specific lifestyle. And I'm not going to get into the specifics of that, but it's true. There's a lot of branching out that needs to be done in women's football to hit every single realm of football fan out there, because there's a lot of football guys out there. And truthfully, guys are the most passionate about football. it's because it's been a men's sport for so long, and it's just new as, I mean, 9 years is new. So it's new as a women's football sport. So there's a lot of football fanatics out there that are just dying for football in the off season, and I'm sorry, arena football does not do it. So getting those sponsors and those fundraisers out there are huge for your team in women's football. Because if you've got the money situation solved before practices actually start, then you can just focus on football. And your team will be better because of it. It might not show in your record, but it'll show in their attitudes and the way your team performs in the field. Because sometimes you're just going to get beat because the other team is better at football than you. But it's all about improving your game, not improving what you do against other people, but improving your style of football and improving that you can play football, organized, structured football, and have fun doing it. So that's my big thing in the offseason. Everybody get out there, work together as teams. You know, like Pops out here says that he's working with Tennessee Valley. Was that it, Pops? I can't remember. Where was it? Yeah, hooked up with the Tennessee Tigers with an awesome fundraiser as well. So if you have local teams in your area, I know there's rivalries and stuff like that, but, you know, work with the teams. Get the name of women's football out there. Hit the local small mom-and-pop shops because those are the ones that are really going to get your support with those the chains and the big names. It's so much corporate crap to cut through. You're never going to get the money that you want in the time you need. If you actually have the people that can do it, you can get a chunk load of money, but it just takes forever to do. So how much time off? That's what I want you coaches out there to get back to me too. How much time off do you give your players and yourself before you go back to them? All right, now, Coach, was it? Pops had a question. Have you ever heard of the CSC? What is the CSC, Pops? Go ahead and type it in because I have no clue what that acronym stands for. Once you probably type it out, I will know, but I don't right now, so just shoot that out towards me. Right now, we're going to jump into college football. And college football just recently released the preseason rankings. And for those of you out there who are Georgia Bulldog fans, congratulations. They are number one in both polls, with USC second in one, third in the other, and Ohio State, the most overrated team in college football, ranked second and third, flip-flop from USC. So I just make fun of Ohio State because they're in the Big Ten, and I really don't have anything to brag about. I'm a Florida State fan, and we're in the ACC, so yeah, Big Ten, ACC, there's two great conferences, or should I say used to be great conferences because they're not great anymore. Ohio State just got shellacked in the last two championship games, and I knew there was more competition out there than Ohio State because there's two different types of – actually, there's probably three different types of college football being played, big bruising football and fast, crazy football. And the fast, crazy football has actually been winning a lot lately. So I'm waiting to see where these other teams are going to adjust. Oklahoma's already adjusted. Nebraska's trying to adjust. It's going to take them forever. Oklahoma actually has a very good passing and running game now. They're not the whole jam it down your throat. They're one of the old school teams that have done the best at adapting. So congratulations to Oklahoma, who is ranked four in both polls. My team, Florida State, not ranked in either one of them. That's good. We're not on the radar. I love it. Actually have season tickets, and I can't wait because the season starts August 28th. How many days away is that? Today. Today's the 20th. That's 8 days. Next Thursday, there's going to be college football on TV. For all you people out there that don't understand how much of a college football fan I am, huge, huge. I mean, I live in Southern California, Long Beach, California, to be specific. I went to school at Florida State, which is Tallahassee, 2,200 miles away. I bought season tickets this year. Season tickets to go to all the Florida State home games. I'm only actually going to go to four because the first two are cupcakes. And then the Boston College blackout game, I've already been to. I went to that one 2 years ago. So I'm actually going to Florida State, Virginia Tech, Florida State, Clemson, Bowden Bowl, Florida State, Wake Forest, since who would have ever thought Wake Forest would have been a ranked team. And then I'm going to Florida State, Florida, which is a very nice. BJ says she wants to be a coach. They must be paying me well. Remember, I work for the government, so I get paid a lot for doing nothing. So, actually, it's funny because my owner, I bought a Land Rover 2 years ago, and I pulled up to practice one day, and the owner came up to me. She's like, "How much am I paying you?" I was like, "You're paying me? I didn't even know that." So that was funny that you said that, BJ. And Posh, you're from Fullerton. My sister actually graduated from Cal State Fullerton, so there you go. There's a sixth degree right there. So the college football season getting started is very excitable to me. I'm just like, woohoo! But there's a couple things I wanted to go over with college football because, you know, it's getting exciting with the IDFFL and NWFA rules being such a mishmash of high school, college, and pros. Next year is going to be even more fun because college is kind of getting closer and closer to the pros. The horse collar has been banned from college football. And for those of you who don't know what the horse collar is, it's tackling, and let me reiterate that. It's immediately tackling somebody from the neck with the shoulder pads or inside of the jersey. It's not grabbing it, pulling them towards you, and then wrapping up and taking them down. You can initiate contact there. You just can't take them down from the immediate contact of there. So there's the little tweak of that rule. A lot of people think that just because you grab the back of their jersey or the back of their shoulder pads, it's a flag. It's not. It's only a flag if you immediately take them down from that position. So that is a big change in the college football scene. Another big rule change is they will no longer have a 25-second play clock. They will have a 40-second play clock similar to that of the NFL. Once the play is dead, the 40-second play clock starts. Now, that's different from the IDFFL. The IDFFL, the 40-second play clock starts from when the ball is ready for play. So that's a little, that's about a probably 6 to 10 second discrepancy right there. So, and college football doesn't have the earpieces that the NFL does. So I anticipate seeing a lot of delay games the first couple of weeks of football because those college coaches are going to have to move a lot faster to get all their signals in because they do it all with signals. And that's one thing that's it was allowed in the WPFL, but it's not allowed in the NFL, and I don't know the rules in the NWFA. So anybody out there who actually knows the rule, are you allowed to have communication devices in the helmets of your players? In the IDFFL, it's not allowed. The WPFL, it was allowed. So those of you out there listening right now, let me know what you know about that. Reading some of the comments on here about T.O.'s alma mater getting smacked around. Yeah, I don't think I'll be watching those games. So I am a big college football fan, but I like to watch the big games like USC and Ohio State this year is going to be huge. Arizona State and Georgia is going to be huge. Texas, Oklahoma, Florida State, Florida State, Miami, USC, UCLA. Even though UCLA has sucked, they have a new coach this year. Those games should be quite interesting. But let's get back to some of the rule changes. The reason I thought the rule changes was pretty cool is because at the IDFFL championship game, the actual hotel we were staying at, that's where all the officials for college football were. The Big Ten Conference was head of the officiating committee this year, and every single official, I think, from the country was there. And it was pretty cool to see them all because I was like, oh, college football. I was basically in a dream world if I liked officials, but I hate officials because I'm a coach. I just deal with them. They're a necessary evil. So they've changed a couple rules. The whole blocking below the waist, they're not allowed to do a high-low combination anymore, which is an NFL rule, so that's another one they're switching over to. The only person that can be hit high and low is the person with the ball. And then they're actually putting out DVDs to teams about helmet-to-helmet contact because that's also a big thing. The last rule they're changing is restarting the game clock after a runner has gone out of bounds. And this was a big thing in the IDFFL championship game. People thought that the clock should have stopped when the person was tackled. That's in college, after first down, the clock stops. But it starts once the chains are reset or the ball is set. So nowadays, except for the final two minutes during each half, the game clock will be started on the referee's signal rather than when the ball is snapped. So that's also a major game change right there because you have to, as soon as you run out of bounds trying to stop the clock, you have to be ready for when that official puts the ball down. It's basically just like the NFL, you know, so college football is becoming more and more like the NFL, and I'm not sure I'm a big fan of that. So for those of you who are wondering when the season starts, August 28th, let me look, see, it's a Thursday night, and ESPN is showing North Carolina State and South Carolina. ESPN2 is showing Oregon State at Stanford, and those are 8 and 9 p.m. games. There are other big games that week on that Thursday. Yeah, don't really see any. Let's see. There's a game on Friday. I don't like that because high school football should have its own night. Saturday, August 30th, first start of the season. Hawaii at Florida. Oh, my gosh. What a way for Hawaii to start out the season. I'm sorry. USC at Virginia. That's a challenge. Appalachian State, the wrecking crew that killed Michigan season last year, they start off at LSU this year. I don't see them repeating, but it'll still be interesting to kind of flick over and check the bottom line on that one. Let's see. Alabama at Clemson, first week of the season? Holy cow, that's number 24 versus number 9. That's a big game. We do have a big game this, on the first week of the season. And then Kentucky at Louisville. There you go, Pops and Chopper out there. You got Kentucky at Louisville the first weekend of the season on a Sunday, too, at that. Look at that. Hopefully you can have that. And, yes, I agree with you, Pops. The NFL should go to college overtime rules. Those men make too much damn money not to finish a game. I'm sorry. That's something that's very, very with me. I think that you should have to finish a game. Both teams should have an equal chance of winning, and there should be no chance of a tie. So that's all I really wanted to talk about college football. Each week I'll talk about a little bit of college football because I'm such a fan, and hopefully that'll get some of the eagerness out of my system. So, yeah, Tennessee at UCLA, I saw that. That's a Monday. Can you believe that? Tennessee at UCLA is a Monday. So my last subject is fantasy football. This is the NFL section. I'm only going to keep it really small. NFL section. Fantasy football. Who here is a participant in the fantasy football league, and why? I know I am. I actually have been running a league for the past 4 or 5 years, and those in my league are friends and football players, and, you know, we just have a good time to have fun with it. We don't do a live draft. We're not that into it. So, but I don't get a lot of things to do with fantasy football. Like, how are people... there are commercials about fantasy football there. And, ooh, Pops, you might need to give me a call or shoot me an email if there's a way to make money off of fantasy football, because that I might have to really work out. So, what was I talking about? Fantasy football. There's a lot of people that are truly addicted to fantasy football, and I don't get it, because there's a lot of free ones out there. And free is a good thing, right? And that's one of the leagues I do. I do a free league where it's free to all my friends. It's not, $30 to get in or anything like that. But it's just a free league to get into, and you can track people. But some people still actually pay $10 to get that damn stat tracker thing. They have to know how far they are ahead in each play. You know, and I don't get that. It's like, dude, you can just check after the games and see how well you're doing. Pop thinks fantasy football is retarded. Oh, okay, that's unique. You were talking about a fundraiser for women's teams. I get that. Are you talking about the golf league? Yes, because that's something that's big, and I mentioned that earlier. Golf thing is pretty cool if you have that connection. I think we have too many old people in Southern California. We wouldn't be able to reserve that many. I mean, I did a bachelor party kind of thing with it, and that was only like 15 or 20 people, and that was just hard as hell to get in there because all the tee times are taken out here. Okay. All right, but on to fantasy football. What is up with the addiction of fantasy football? I like fantasy football. I think it's fun. It's one of the only reasons why I am into women's football anymore, as a skateboarder goes by getting dragged by his dog. That's what that noise is. I think fantasy football is a cool thing to just to do for fun, and I keep in touch. I'm a Dolphins fan, and we've sucked since, when did Marino retire, in 99 or 2000? So we've sucked even before he left because he was basically all that we ever had. But it's something to get into that gets me into watching, you know, NFL football. And I hate the way that the rules are so structured in the NFL that everybody is a carbon copy of themselves. And so... That's why I like college football, because there's so many different things, and the parity isn't as great. You just have some teams, you know, like Appalachian State beat Michigan last year. Nobody saw that coming. But because of the way there's different types of systems and the way that matchups and stuff like that, it's pretty cool to see that. So I am going to have to go, it looks like. Let me see. Hold on a second, everybody. I am going to charge my phone up real quick. I charged it today, but it seems to be dying on me. So I just wanted to get everybody's take on fantasy football, how many people are running fantasy football leagues, and how much time does that take away from what you're doing with football. Because I spend maybe 10 minutes a week on fantasy football, but I know people out there that will actually sit in a room for 8 hours and do a live draft. And I just think that's crazy. I mean, it's great to be passionate about something, but fantasy football, come on. It was bad enough that we had all these people being armchair quarterbacks on Mondays and Tuesdays after NFL games. Now we got people thinking they can do better based on picking players and building their own team and competing with other people who are just as egotistical who don't play football anymore. So I just think that's funny. And we just do it as a friendly competition between friends. And since I'm from the East Coast, it's a way to keep in touch with all of my friends who are football fans out there. So let me see what I can do. Looks like my phone is charging. Should have a couple more minutes after that little charge. So I actually do my show from my front porch, so there's no plugs out here. I actually like the air outside. So I want to thank those of you for listening and chatting it up. Chopper, Pops, QB Mama, who you need to email me, by the way, and let me know what part of Southern California you're actually in. So remember, my email address is headcoach@californiaquakefootball.com. Pops, please email me about the CSC thing so you can let me know what it is all about. And then I would probably like to get some information on how you coordinate things for a golf tournament fundraiser. I don't think I have the insight to that. I know that we are doing a bunch of flag football tournaments because we got hooked up with the flag football guys down here, and we will be doing those. And if we do a 1 or 2 day event, that could be anywhere from $2,000 to $12,000 just for that. So the Ocean Breeze is lovely. I'm looking at the ocean right now. So just so you know, Pops, it's still here. Hasn't gone anywhere. It's, you know, a nice comfortable 72 degrees right now. And I'm sitting on the porch drinking a Dr. Pepper and talking to y'all. So next week I'm going to see what I can research about where are they now. Maybe the IWFL or NWFA will put some more stuff out there and I can do it on a team again. If not, send your emails or questions to headcoach@californiaquake.com. And I did pause. Yeah, I don't think it would be that interesting to broadcast the play-by-play of the Ocean Breeze, but no, I can't do that. For those of you just listening and not in the chat room, you're missing out on all kinds of stuff. You might have to change your sleeping schedule on the East Coast to listen live because these people chatting in here are always quite a hoot. So next week, let's talk about some where are they now, and then I'm going to basically prepare everyone for the next day of college football season and let everybody know what games to watch and where they can find out watching them, and hopefully have some more tryout dates listed for that. I'm going to have a couple people join me next week, probably some coaches if I can, to talk about their off season and what they want from management and need from management to improve on their season. So that is it for this evening. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been Third and Long with Coach Penn. Everybody have a great weekend. Be safe. Enjoy the weather that you're in, except for Florida, because guess what? Faye's coming back around to say hello to you again. Everybody else, have a good night.